Let us pray. Our loving Father, Lord, as I open your love letter, as I come to you, Lord, and as I speak, as you speak through me, Lord, may this message touch me to the deepest core of my mind. May we realize, Lord, that you are here with us. That as we open, Lord, and we understand that the message that you have brought for us today, it'll be one, Lord, that not only would fill us spiritually, but it would glow us in a way, Lord, that those who are around us, it may be our children, it may be our spouse, it may be our neighbor, it may be our coworker. Oh, Lord, may they see Christ in us. May your spirit be reflected in us in such a way, Lord, that we can come and we can rejoice and we can say we have been in the presence of him who created this universe. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for using such a servant as me, Lord. Forgive my sins, blot out all of my iniquities, Lord, that I can boldly come to your throne and accept your promises. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. As I mentioned to you as I was preparing, and I opened my Bible and I wondered, Lord, what is it that you want me to speak today? I opened my Bible and this was my grandmother's Bible. This was her pride and joy, and it's so beautiful because it has large letters, and I thank her for it now, because now I'm needing those large letters. And as I opened the Bible, and it came, and this little song came out, which I'm going to sing for you today, and I'll tell you what this song is about. I remember very vividly about 6 or 7 years ago, somebody came to my desk and said, Brother Luis, would you like to be in prison ministry? Right away, I said, no way, not how, not in this world, not in a million years. And all of a sudden, he said, listen, I want you to pray. I want you to pray right now, and I want you to take the time. It takes about a year for you to be accepted to do this ministry. So I want you to start praying now. I took the time and I went out, and then God opened my mind and talked to me about a king in the Bible. A king in the Bible that would destroy the prophet. He would skin him alive. And yet he was so evil to those that were trying to bring the message, but yet God touched his heart and changed his heart, and God saved them. And he said, Luis, if I'm able to save that king, those who are behind those bars are my sons and my daughter as well, and I want you to go and save them as well. And let me tell you, it was the greatest 4 years of my life. I miss those guys. Once in a while, I get message that they've been baptized, that some of them are being baptized, and some of them are still saying they would like to see me again. They would like to hear my voice again. And it's such a joy to be able to know. And this was one of the songs. Imagine you are in prison and there is 50 guys in front of you. Most of them society has forgotten about. And yet they're coming here and they're singing this song. And it says, there's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure heart. There's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. My waist gets brighter, my loads get lighter, walking up the King's highway. There's joy in knowing with him I'm going, walking up the King's highway. There's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure heart. There's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. Don't have to worry, don't have to hurry, walking up the King's highway. Christ walked beside me, angels to hide me, walking up the King's highway. You can sing with me. There's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. There's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. If you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway. There'll be a blessing you'll be possessing. Walking up the King's highway. There's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure our heart. There's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. Amen. You know, think about it for a second. You think about there are this 50 men sitting in this prison and they're singing this song with all of their heart. They sang this song every week. Every week they wanted to sing this song because they wanted to know that there truly is a highway to heaven. There is a way to heaven. It doesn't matter how far you've gone for Him. It doesn't matter if society has forgotten about you. God is trying to tell you, I'm coming and I'm coming soon. Oh, brothers and sisters, I think that God is so good. Let me tell you, a miracle happened here last time I preached. I woke up and I stood here and I was sure that God had told me that I needed to preach on chapter 24 of Ezekiel. And I got up here and I started and I wanted to go back a couple of verses and then I started. And when I got home, I realized that I actually preached on chapter 23 instead of chapter 24. And I didn't realize that until the next morning that I was having worship. And let me tell you, there are so many of you that have come and have said, brother, I've heard your message and I was touched by what you said. And for me, it just still brings shivers into my body because I understand that there's a God that is so amazing. I understand that there's a God that if there is one of you sitting here, He's going to make sure that you hear what He's trying to tell you today. Brothers and sisters, we're going to start our sermon. It's going to be in 2 Chronicles. We're going to be in the first chapter. The Bible does not tell us how old Solomon was when he took the reign, but it is guesstimated that he was around 20 years old. I can only imagine a 20-year-old. I remember back when I was 20 years old, I was dating my wife. I was in Windsor. She was in Oshawa, Ontario, and we were on the phone most of the time. And most of our courtship for 30 months was on the phone until one day. I'll tell you a story. I guess one day she woke up in the morning and she said, well, I don't know if I like this long-distance relationship. I'm paraphrasing here. And she thought of a way how to finally end with the relationship. And she was taking a trip going to Spain. And she told this 17, 18-year-old son, our child, that was always a mama's boy. He said, I'm going on a trip. If by the time I come back, which is 2 weeks, you're not near me in Toronto, I think that this is over. I sat back and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And I remember I started making a phone call and I called my friend in Toronto and he said, come on down. Come on down. And I remember vividly, I remember that I saved up to buy my first car. And it was a station wagon. Imagine an 18-year-old growing from Windsor to Toronto in this big, huge station wagon. And I remember my dad was his friend. He was fixing a car. And I said, Dad, I'm about to leave. And he says, son, may God bless you. He turned around and he muttered a word. He said, he'll be back next week. Because he knew that all I had in my pocket was $50, a place to live for 1 month and a car. Brothers and sisters, that was close to 40 plus years ago. And I remember one day I sat down with my father and he said, son, I regretted saying those things because you never came back. You know, and there are certain things that you have to understand, that there are certain times in your life that God's put you in front and God tells you it's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to realize that there's a message that I have for you, and the message is not for yesterday. The message is not for tomorrow. The message is for today. So as you're looking at this 20-year-old that's coming in and his father had died and now he's become a king, and we start in verse 1, it says, "And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and manifested him exceedingly." I don't know about you today, but I would love that to be said about me. I don't know about you today, but I would love for God to come and look at me and to say that he is going to bless me exceedingly as he has. As I sit here today, I can see God's blessing in every part of my life. As I look back at what God has had to do to bring me here, as I look back at what God has got to do to mold me into who I am today, as I look back to how God has blessed me, I can do nothing but to give him honor and to give him glory and to say, God and mighty be our God. And I remember, and I'm looking at this 20-year-old, and it says in verse 2, "Then Solomon spake unto all Israel." I remember the first time I preached. I was around the same age. I was around 20 years old. And I remember my buddy, Lurd Solomon, asked me, "I need you to preach in Bowmanville Church." And I was so excited. I was going to go to the Bowmanville Church and I was going to preach. And I had this sermon all set up. And I'm standing and I'm preaching my sermon. And my sermon was about 7 minutes and 12 seconds. And I remember walking out of that place and I cried like I've never cried in my whole life. I said, "Lord, I cannot believe that I did that. Lord, I cannot believe that I didn't have." And it was the worst experience of my life. I said, "I'll never do this again." And here I am in front of you. You know, I remember for the first time what it felt like to be helpless, how what it felt like to be in a situation in which you don't understand why is it. But then the beautiful part about this, I remember now, I could imagine Solomon there in front of Israel speaking to them. And it says, "To the captains and thousands and hundreds of the judges and every governor in all of Israel and all the sheaves of the father." He wasn't just talking to a small church. He was talking to all of the individuals. And let me tell you, what an amazing God that we have, that sometimes he puts us in situations that are difficult. He puts us in ways that you don't understand. "Lord, am I going to be able to do it?" But yet he is able to glean something, and he's able to use your love, your desire, your energy to do mighty things. And we go into verse 3, and it says, "So Solomon, all of the congregation with him, went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of God, had made in the wilderness." I hope that you understand what this verse is trying to say. I hope that you understand that when this young child at age 20, for the first time, he is put into a responsibility that is difficult, a responsibility that maybe some of us will never be able to do. And the first thing that he wanted to do is to make sure that God was the first part that it will come into his kingdom. I don't know what that does for you. I don't know how you feel in your life. I don't know how when you wake up in the morning, if the first thing that you put in your presence, is the creator of God. I know that he wakes me up every morning with a song in my heart. I know when my days are going to go bad when that doesn't happen. And I know that it's kind of hard. You don't want it to think that way. But there is, when God wakes you up in the morning, when you can give him the honor, when you can give him the glory, when you understand that you can do nothing but through Christ who strengthens you, who gives you the power, who gives you the opportunity, there is something that changes in your mind. There's a way that your mind gets warm. There's a way that you enjoy. There's a way that you rejoice. There's a way that you give God all that you have. We get into verse 4, and it says, "But the ark of God had David brought unto Hijijah Arim, and the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, are we pitching a tent for God today? There is a tabernacle that God wants to dwell in. There is a tabernacle that God wants to be part of. And that tabernacle is right here in your heart. God wants to dwell in your heart. God is knocking at the door right now. And God is saying, brother, sister, can you open my door? And I know that a lot of you, what type of tent have you made into this tabernacle? What type of dwelling have you put in this tabernacle? What type of things are you doing for God to be able to come into your home, to come into your heart, and to see what really is in your heart? I know when I look back in my days, I know that when I wake up in the morning, there are days that I come up and I said, Lord, I failed you again. The beautiful part of it, that God comes back and tells me, son, I know. And you're going to fail me tomorrow. And you're going to fail me next week. But I know that the moment that you get up and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I've asked for forgiveness of our sin. I am going to cleanse all of your iniquity. And you're going to be one clean person once again. Every day we have the opportunity to start anew. Every day we have the opportunity to understand that the wisdom of God is the one that we need to interject, the one that we need to connect to, because the time is coming so short. You're seeing all of the things that are happening around you. You're understanding that the Lord is coming. We've been preaching this message for over 150 years, and right now it's happening before our eyes, and God is telling them, open your eyes and let the wisdom of God enter in you, and not only enter in you, but share that wisdom with those around you. In verse 5, verse 6, and Solomon went up thither on the brazen altar before the Lord, which had at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offer 1,000 burnt offerings upon him. I can't even imagine. I'm one of those that I have a hard time even killing even a mosquito sometimes. I know it's not, but I can't. My wife gets scared with the spiders in the house, and she tells me, come take the spider, kill it, kill it. No, I can't. Or if a bee comes in, I can't. I grab it, and I put it in a cup, and I throw it out because I'm so scared of killing something. But imagine if, because of your sin, you have to take a little lamb. Not just any lamb, not just any sheep. It's the one that's been in your home, the one that you have loved, the one that you have given name, the one that you have fed, the one that you've brought up from there, the one that has no blemish. And you have to kneel down and you have to take the life of that animal. Imagine if you would, what your sin life will be right now. I don't know about you. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could go every day, go every time and do this ritual, because if we truly understand what this was, is that we were trying to look forward to him who died in the cross for us, to him who shed the blood for us, each one of us. So if I can't even take the life of a poor spider, how much more a lamb that I love, the lamb that I cared for? Oh, brothers, the Lamb of God is talking to you today. Oh, sister, the Lamb of God is trying to tell you today, there's a wisdom in which you need to know. The world is trying to think that there's wisdom that they want in part of you, which is riches and fame and honor. But God is trying to tell you, I have a different wisdom for you. I have something better for you. I have something that is going to get you through, because the wisdom of God, understanding God, knowing God, having a relationship with God, is what is most important to each one of you today. Today, God is trying to tell you that there isn't a time. You don't have time for tomorrow. The things are happening so quickly. Our sister is saying about this poor mother who had to see their child. I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine how I would go. I can't even imagine the things, the hurt that individuals are going through right now. But God is trying to tell you, if you're faithful to me. Verse 7, in that night, God appeared unto Solomon. How many of you would like God to appear unto you? How many of you would love to have God in your presence? How many of you? I don't know. I speak to God. God speaks to me. And it's such an amazing feeling to be able to talk to him and to be able to acknowledge him. But to have in the presence, for God to come directly to me, it's never happened. But imagine, it says, and Solomon went, and it says, and in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. Let's sit here for a second. I'm 20 years old. I barely left my house. I left my house with a station wagon, $50 in my pocket, and I have myself an apartment awaiting for my girlfriend to come back to surprise her with a teddy bear and to let her know you're not getting rid of me that easy. You're going to marry me one day. And all of a sudden, God appears unto me and tells me, ask me whatever you wish. You know, we read the Bible and we try to think that the Bible is for someone out there. We read the Bible and we look at the stories, but I want to internalize it. I want to bring it down to you. I want you to be that 20-year-old son. I want you to be that 20-year-old king. I want you to be in the presence of God. And God asks you a simple question. It says, ask what I shall give thee. What will you ask? You know, have we asked ourselves that question? Are we asking ourselves that question every day? Because God is asking you today, what may I do for you? God is asking you today, God is pleading with you. You see, a lot of us put God as this higher being in which we cannot get a hold of. A lot of us put God as this in a pedestal in which he's looking down at us and looking and see, let's see when he's going to mess up. Zap, I'm going to zap you. And there's a lot of people out there that that's the way that they look at God. But my God, my creator, my father, my love, he has the opportunity. He gives me the ability to call him Abba. And if you don't know what that means dad. That means that him who created this universe is telling you, I don't want all the formalities of the world. Yes, I am a God. Yes, I am powerful. Yes, I am mighty. But for you, I am your dad. And I hope you realize that your dad is telling you today, what is it that you want, child? I don't know about you, but I probably would have asked for so many things. At this moment, I am 20 years old and I'm a king and I have so many responsibilities. And I'm going to say, I'm going to ask for so many things of God. And it says in verse 8, and Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy upon David, my father, and has made me to reign in his stead. I hope that you realize today that you need to constantly be reminded of the things that you have done, what God has done for you in the past. I hope that you realize how faithful God has been to you in the past, because there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time. Right now, some of you are going through those struggles. Right now, your pastor's wife is going through that struggle. You don't understand what she had to go through this past couple of weeks. She's gone through difficult times and she's gone through hurt and she's gone through suffering. And right now, there are some of us that are going through the same thing. We need to realize that when God gives us those victories, and I hope that God is giving you victories every day, because there's going to be a time where you're going to be set with a decision that you're going to make. Do I follow my God in whom have been faithful to me, or do I buckle down to what the enemy is telling me? We come to verse 9 and says, now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitudes. When I look back at my life, I've mentioned to you that I lost all my family in 19 months. My grandmother, my grandfather, my father, and my mother. But when I look at those 18 months, when I look at what my father called me about an hour before he died. And I talked to him and I was able to tell my father, Father, I love you. You have been an amazing father. And I prayed with my father. And about 30 minutes later, my father went to sleep. My father told me, son, I am such a blessed man. First, I have found a God that loves me. Second, I found a woman that worshiped me. And my mother did worship my dad. My mother, when from the moment she met my father, it was like two teenagers. You would see they were so in love for 50 years. They were so in love with each other. For 40 years, they were so in love with each other. And then he said, I am such a blessed man because I'm going to know the day that I'm going to die. And 30 minutes later, he went to rest. I'm telling you, it is such a blessing to be able to know, to be able to understand the things that God has given you. And even through that struggle, as much as I love my father, I knew that the next thing that my father is going to see is his creator, God, coming in the heavens. Oh, sister, oh, brothers, please, I want you to understand. I want you to understand that this story is about you. This story is not about Solomon. This story is not about telling you. This story is about God. God is talking to you today. God is trying to tell you, you got to make a decision today. You got to understand that I want to give you everything, but in order for you to accept the things that God has given you, in order for you to accept what God is going to do in your life, you have to understand what he's done for you in the past. Because if you know what he's done for you in the past, you know he's going to be faithful to you in the future. And Solomon is telling God, you have been so faithful to my father. You have been so faithful to me. And now comes, give verse 10. It says, give me now wisdom. And I thought about making that my scripture reading today. And I thought about that would be the one, but I wanted you to understand that I didn't want you to go. I wanted you to know what this sermon was going to be about. This sermon is not about the knowledge of wisdom. This sermon is not about what wisdom can give you, because the memory verse, as you, the text as you saw, it was about what the wisdom gave to Solomon. And it wasn't important what the wisdom gives to you, the importance that you have the wisdom. And it continues and it says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before the people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? There is nothing inherent in me. The only reason why I'm in front of you today is because I have a willing heart. The only reason why I'm in front of you today is because I love my God. And I can never tell no to my dad. Whenever he asks, and let me tell you, I plead with him every day. I plead with him and tell him, Lord, why me? And God tells me it's because you're willing. And I'm telling you today that we need to be willing. I'm telling you today that we need to understand that the harvest is plentiful and the harvesters are few. And we need to plead to God. And to tell God, God, I want you to put me in your harvest. I want you to be here. I want you to be here. Because the people are, what did he say here? The people that is so what? So great. That word great doesn't mean wonderful. That word great means they're difficult. And you're going to find difficult times in your life. You're going to find difficult situations in your life. You're going to find difficult things that you're going through. Each one of you, I know you are. Because I am. I'm going through my own struggles. I'm going through my own trials. I'm going through difficulties. So if I am, then you, I know you are, because we see the evidence that God is coming soon. And verse 11, it says, and God said unto Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, or honor, nor life of thine enemies, neither ye has asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest know my people over whom I have made thee king. I have seen Jane cry. Whenever you ask Jane about her customers, whenever you ask Jane about those who she's given Bible studies to, she tears up. She cries because she is full of compassion. She understands that these individuals need a God to love. These individuals need to come out to the light. And I have seen the way that she has put in her heart. And I have seen the way that Amy and each one of you, how much you love this church and what you have put into this church. And I understand that it's a struggle every day. But let me tell you, because today you are asking God for wisdom, God then will in turn and open to you the heavens, the windows of heaven, and give you all the blessings. And if that blessing is just to have the peace of God, May you understand today that wisdom doesn't mean you're going to be free of troubles, of trials, of tribulation. Wisdom does not mean that you're going to be wealthy or have honor and pleasures. Wisdom does not mean that you're going to make it. Wisdom means that you have surrendered, you have given yourself, and you said, Lord, I can't do it. You're going to have to do that work in my life. Now we get to the scripture reading today, and it says, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none the king had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee have to have the dying. Brothers and sisters, you are that 20-year-old king. Brothers and sisters, you need to ask today for wisdom. You need to understand that only by accepting the wisdom that God has given you, you are going to receive the riches as no one else has ever in the future or in the past, that no one else is going to receive the wisdom, the riches that God is offering to you today. And I'm telling you that the wisdom, that the riches that God gives you are innumerous. I was born in a communist country. I remember vividly the ways, the things that we had to go through in order for us to go to church. It's not as simple as here. It's not as simple as coming in a car and coming in and just walking into a church and everything is wonderful. Your religion is challenged to you every day. Every moment, they're asking you, who is your God? And they want you to say, Fidel is my God. They don't accept when you say that God is my God. My father was telling me that that one day his teacher asked him, what is infinite? And my father said, God is infinite. And the teacher smiled at him, and the teacher almost kicked him out of the class, and it says, there's no such thing as a God. And he said, oh, sister, there is a God. Because if I'm here, if I'm in front of you, it's because a God created me. Today, you are a 20-year-old king. Today is the day where you need to ask your God. Your God whom came to you and asked you, what is it that you want? I ask you today. I plead with you today. Ask for wisdom because you need it.